Yes. Then also let us know other podcast platforms that you prefer, so that we can do the due diligence to make sure that they are there. We really want you to be comfortable. Really want you to be comfortable in your preferences. Amen.
Yeah. Apple, Spotify, Castbox, there's one called Breeze or something. So probably like 6, 7 there. I'm sure they can have a variety to pick from.
Yes. Yes. All right. So yes. I don't have a sermon per se, but I just want to speak certain things, and then we can pray for like 5 minutes or so, and then we'll be done. But I'd encourage you over this period, this festive period, to really invest your time in prayer. Invest your time in prayer. And the reason why I'm saying this is because only prayerful people will survive. Only prayerful people will survive. And there are things that God has told me that I need to listen and lean into more for next year. But one thing is certain is that the glory of God will be even more visible next year. The glory of God will be even more visible next year. And the thing is, it just depends on which set of eyes you decide to look through in the next year. Let me say that again. It depends on which set of eyes you decide to look through next year. Oh, amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. It is a time to be excited. It is a time to be excited for the simple fact that you are a believer. It is a time to be excited for the simple fact that you are a believer. If you know anyone who needs to be here, please text them. Please ask them to be here, because certain things we'll talk about will enable you pray and focus when it comes to the transition. I'm not big on yearly prophecies, but it's important that we get direction, because our culture has already been set. Our culture and a tradition has been set where there's an expectation for new things when we come into New Year's, and there's an expectation for better things when we come into New Year's. All right. So a culture has already been set, because and you'd find that most of the time that we just transition in a calendar transitions, but nothing transitions. A calendar transition, a calendar changes, but nothing changes. Okay. There's a progressive nature of what is suspended in the air that transverses through calendars. Do you understand what I'm saying? There's a progressiveness of what is suspended in the air, what is suspended in the atmosphere that transverses, it goes through calendars. And at times the change of a calendar does not signify the change of anything when it comes to the realm of the spirit. This year, and I've said it before, this year, next year, and the year after have such a similarity when I look at what God wants to do, when I look through the years, when I look in the realm of the spirit and I look through time, when I look in the realm of the spirit and I look through time, there's a similarity. There's a similarity, and not just a similarity, but a progressiveness of what's going on in the spirit. And that's why I'm saying the glory of God will even be more visible. Why? Because there's a progressive growth of the glory of God from what we've experienced this year. It just depends on which set of eyes you look through. Okay? Okay? As predicted, the physical economic times of 2021 will be desperate. They will be desperate. They will be desperate. Economic times will be desperate. But this is the thing. You need to learn to invest in the economy of the kingdom. You need to learn to invest in the economy of the kingdom, because there will be a visibility and a separation. I hope someone is writing this. There'll be a visibility and a separation, a distinction. Can someone text a Seka, please, and ask them to be here? There'll be a visibility and a separation and a distinction of a people who have invested in the economy of the kingdom. Let me say that again. There will be a visibility, a separation, and a distinction of the people who have invested in the economy of the kingdom, are people who live through the principles of the economy of the kingdom, are people who live, who are sustained, who day by day tread by the principles that sustain the economy of the kingdom. Amen. And all this is not to scare you. All this is not to put you into a panic mode, but all this is to set you up, set you aside, and give you an advantage of how to run your finances and run your life when it comes to these times. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
This is to give you an advantage. It is to give you, it is inside information. It's like inside trading. So that people wonder how it is that you can be able to live the kind of life that you are living, the kind of lifestyle that you are living. People will wonder why, because you have been distinguished, you've been separated. Because you are practicing and living off, you're practicing and living off a kingdom that does not suffer inflation, a kingdom that does not suffer loss, a financial economy that is constant. It is constant. It is constant. Your integrity will be much valued and rewarded during these times. Your integrity will be valued and much rewarded when we go to 2021. Just a minute. This is that time not to drive through red lights. This is that time not to drive through red lights or to speed while you are on the highway, so that you are not caught by the NTSA. And when you are, if it so happens that you are caught, do not be tempted to bribe them. Afadhali ukope. You understand what I'm saying? Your integrity will be valued. It will be rewarded. It will be rewarded because there are very few, very little things that we assume that will be used, not will be used. Very little things that we assume that are currencies when it comes to the economy of the kingdom. And faithfulness is one of them. So we ought to be found faithful in this time, faithful tithers, faithful givers, faithful in upholding the land of the law of the land, faithful in upholding principles, faithful in upholding that which sounds normal and can be avoided or can be that is not really people don't take seriously. You understand what I'm saying? But the righteous will rejoice even the more. The righteous will rejoice even the more. The righteous will rejoice even the more. And you have been found to be righteous. You have been found to be righteous. Amen. Amen. Twenty twenty-one will be a year of mixed feelings. Let me see if I can explain that. It will be a year of mixed feelings. A year of mixed feelings. You will hear people say, I had the last month has been so good to me, and then the next month has been so bad to me. Or I've had such a terrible 3 weeks, and then after that, the lift turns and they think the year has turned on the right side for them, and they enjoy the next 3 weeks, and then after that, it's just bad again. It will be a year of mixed feelings, a year of such mixed feelings. But one thing that we are going to experience as a people, as a family, one thing that we are going to experience as a family, and that will be so noted, will be distinction. We will be distinguished. We will be distinguished. We will be a shoulder high above our peers. That is where you stay, amen.
Amen.
We'll be a shoulder high above our peers. Yvonne Kendi, do you have your notes from Awakening Church for last week? I hope you do write notes. I'm guessing you're typing. So this will be a year of distinction. And what do I mean by distinction is that there will be, it's like, I saw a meme. Let me use this as an example. I saw a meme today of, it was, this was the picture. There were players fighting and then a referee was standing kando yao. And then, so these players, Liverpool, Man City, Man U, and all these other teams. And it was, the meme was suggesting that these teams are fighting for top four in the English Premier League. But the referee was just apo amekaa kando akiangalia, na huyo referee alikuwa Arsenal. Like, nipiga nini tu top four, me, you know what, me see your story, I mean, Istumbui. It's like that referee, do you get the picture? That referee has been separate, like he's been separated, he's been distinguished. There is that which everyone is fighting for, everyone is suffering from, everyone is going at, but we will be a people who, it's like whatever is happening in the world does not affect us. It's like we are living in a world where there is chaos, there is, thank you, Jesus. Imagine the picture of the Ark of the Covenant just when it started raining. Just when it started raining. And they were like, oh, it's raining. It's raining. Okay, it's raining. And the rain is not stopping. And then it's flooding. It's flooding. And as the people were suffering and as the people were crying for help, there was a people in the ark that were separated, that even though they were in the storm, they were not feeling the effect of the storm. And that is the distinction that is a that we have been promised. That is the distinction that is coming on us. That when everyone will be suffering, everyone will be suffering from the corruption in the land. Everyone will be suffering from bad healthcare in the land. Everyone will be suffering from bad economic times. Everyone will be suffering from death and sicknesses. We will be separated, we will be distinguished, and our people will notice, and our people will ask, what is it that you do different? What is it that you have clinged on to that anchors you, that separates you from the rest of us? How is it that you can be able to go for shopping? How is it that you can be able to do trips here and there, and yet we are suffering? We cannot even afford to buy out, to take care of our basic needs. How is it that it is now that you are building? How is it that it is now that you have gotten a car? How is it that it is now you have done that beautiful wedding? How is it that your life is this good? Because there will be a distinction. One thing that we will experience a pronounced declaration is the distinction of the people of God, the distinction of the people of God, the people of truth, the people of light, the people who have cleaned, the people who have known and understood. There will be a clear distinction, separation. There will be a mark on you, a mark on you.
Amen.
Amen.
I know even as I'm speaking, and I can listen to you, and I hear you, I hear some of you express to themselves how this year has not been good to them. But I would like you to sit down and begin to think through and go back through everything that you have gone through. Think through, meditate on how it has been, and you will realize for a fact that God has been faithful God has secured you and God has uplifted you, you will realize that you've had better than it would have been were it not for the Lord. I know we have a habit just a minute. I know we have a habit, and it is, we cannot blame ourselves for grading or quantifying of the measure that we use to quantify how good we, how well we are doing through materialistic things. Let me say that again. We have been trained and brought up in a system that has been, we've been tutored to quantify how well we are doing, how well we have been, or how well we are progressing in life through the material things that we garner and gain and hoard or collect in life. And if you've not had money according to how you thought you would have money, then it has not been good. If you understand the drift. But the key thing is to understand how to quantify what the blessing of the Lord is. To know and learn how to value, and not to value in terms of having an O, but as a measurement, to value, to put value, to put a measurement to what the blessing of the Lord is. So that when you look through your life, you look through what, how it has been over years, you understand. You understand categorically that this is what the blessing of God looks like. And that brings me to another thing. In 2021, that which you value, that which you value, that which you prioritize, that which you value, that which you prioritize is what will work for you. That which you see value in, that which is, that which you prioritize. And this, and God puts that scripture in me where I think it's Jesus who's saying, store your treasures in the heavens, where the moth and where basically the treasure is not destroyed. Can someone find me that scripture? It will be a year that you will learn, and you will need to learn fast on where to invest, where to have value, where to prioritize. You will need to learn and learn fast. Where to store your treasures. It would be Matthew 6:19. Yes, thank you. It would be very important next year that the only thing that stops you from going to church is your death. The only thing that stops you from attending a prayer meeting is your death. Can I say that again? The only thing that stops you from being among a gathering that is called in the name of the Lord is your death. The only thing that stops you or hinders you from putting in service in your church, from giving your service 100% excellently, is your death. A time will come and it will be impressed in your spirit where the question will be, do I continue working or stop so that I can attend church services? Do I quit my work or attend church services? Will I really be serious to go for a group discussion on a Sunday or go study overnight and not appear in church because I have an exam? What is your priority? What is your priority? What will be your priority? What is the value? Where do you place value? Where do you place value? Thank you, Mercy. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures. That's where I'm going. 6:19. Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. There will be a distinction, not just a distinction, but even distinctions in grades for students who will decide to miss group discussions so that they can be in charge for conferences from Wednesday to Sunday. That does not mean you become foolish and go to church and forgot and forget that you are supposed, you have a duty and a responsibility to be in school, and not only be in school, but to pass. It's even a scriptural, a spiritual responsibility for you to be in school and pass. I was talking to a few of our, let me say this, to a few of our children, on Saturday. And I was telling them, it's our picture. It's our picture of what scripture is that destroys our progress of becoming the word. And I was telling them a scripture like, God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, does not just mean to be good worshipers and screamers during services and laying flat on your stomach, kneeling down, sitting down, waking up, sitting down, dancing. No, that it does not just mean that when you diligently seek God, you're that person who lifts their hands, they don't get tired. Their hands don't get tired. And even when they get tired, they tell their body, you know, we are here to diligently seek the Lord. You being in school and being diligent in school is seeking the Lord. You being at work, and make sure that you are working and giving out 100% at your workplace is seeking the Lord. You being faithful at your workplace to make sure that you are there on time and not leave early and do the work seriously is diligently seeking the Lord. And when you diligently seek the Lord, remember, we are shifting from a church mentality to a kingdom mentality. When you diligently seek the Lord, he rewards those of them that diligently seek him. So when I say next year will be a place, it will be a year for people who will be rewarded depending on where they put their value. It is where you put your value that will reward you, if I can say it like that. Where you put your value will reward you. If you choose not to come to church, if you choose disclaimer to the example that I'm about to squingili unajijua nikishasema Kenya nitasema kwa squingili ime come to na ime so happen to that hii example inaingiana na conversation yetu ya leo but squingili if you choose to not to come to church, to go for a family gathering, expect that family gathering to be the one that rewards you. Do not lay up your treasures on earth where moth, rust, and thieves. If you choose to go for a group discussion on a Saturday, when we have decided we will have a meeting to come and pray, if you choose to go for a group discussion on a Saturday, expect that group discussion to reward you. Where you value, where do you put your value? Where is your priority? If your friends decide to go to Mombasa on a Friday, make sure you come back Saturday or Sunday morning to be in church early on time so that you can set up sound. What you value, what you prioritize in the year that we are entering into, that will be that which that. So if If it's group discussion and you go to group discussion, remember to ask those group discussions to take care of you. Lay up your treasures in heaven. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, or where thieves do not break in and steal. If God asks you to give and you decide to invest in stock exchange, be very careful not to make companies fall. Some of you will collapse major companies. Some of you will collapse major companies because you took that which God had instructed you to give and went and bought stocks. I like that, Gookie. Amen. I like that. Some companies, some organizations will fail. You will make some people go bankrupt because God is asking you to quit certain jobs, but you're insisting because those jobs are paying your bills. We need to be very careful. We need to be very careful because as I said, one of the major things that we will experience is the distinction of God, the separation of God. And it will come to a people who have value in the right things, put their value, prioritize the right things. If you are getting a job, remember that job is not to sustain you, but you are getting that job to do the bidding of the kingdom, to do the seeking of the Lord. If that job is just to give you money and it is, I'll give you this cliche example. I'm saying cliche because you've probably heard so many preachers use it. When Hannah could not give birth, she realized that if I decide that my womb will be the custodian of a servant of God, then God will answer me. And the moment she decided that she will give the child that God will give to him, the moment she gave God a prophet, God gave her a son. In 2021, we will not be looking for jobs so that we can pay rent. We will be looking for jobs where we will enter into companies so that we can be intercessors. We can be the voice of the Spirit in that area of the economy. So it will not just be about looking for a job, because when we go looking for a job randomly, then that job will sustain us. Then we value that job. But when it becomes about doing the things of the kingdom, then we have decided that my provision is set by the kingdom. I am just working to do the work of the kingdom. It's literally going undercover. When cops go undercover, when detectives go undercover, they don't look at the salary of the job that they are doing. For example, if they are undercover as a drug lord, or they want to infiltrate a drug cartel, they never concentrate on the proceeds that come out of the drug business. they always remember that it is the salary of a cop that sustains them. And that's how they are able to maintain their cover. Because how lucrative is it for a policeman? We know how bad they are paid to enter into a drug cartel and forget that they were policemen because the money is better. When you are working in your office in the next year, remember that you are undercover. You are an agent of the kingdom. You are an agent of the kingdom doing the bidding of the kingdom. And this is just a cover. This is just a cover for you to orchestrate. This is just a cover for you to orchestrate what the kingdom needs. This is just a cover to orchestrate what the kingdom needs. And in that time, you will understand when that mentality hits you and you begin to operate in that mentality, you will understand that God is always the provider. You will understand that if you are fired from this job, it doesn't matter. You will understand that even if that job does not pay you well, you will do it excellently. You will do it excellently. You will do it with passion. Imach, allow me to give your testimony. Am I allowed?
It's okay.
Imach works for one company that does a lot of things. Those that you read. And na kazi much ni ngumu, not kwa sababu ni ngumu, but as we say, mdosi wake amemtawala. And most of us would not be in that company now. And I said, this is a testimony. But Imach wakes up, goes to work, does it super well, to the point that he's an award-winning whatever his job title is in his area. Comes back, complains, cries, but at the back of his mind, he remembers why he is there. And in the morning, he wakes up, goes to work, does the work perfectly well. At the end of the day, his boss comes and gives him penalties. It's like punishment, as if to say he's not doing a good job. Let me tell you this. There's a day we were hanging out. And Imach decided that he will go to work in the morning. So that means leaving Kite at around 4, waking up at 4, leaving Kite at around 5, so that he gets to work at 6 in Westland on a public holiday. Gets there so that he can do the work early, take the morning shift, and then in the afternoon come and join us when we were hanging out. On getting to the office, he's told, what are you doing here? You're not supposed to be in work today. You're not supposed to be here today. Today is your off day. And the moment you hear that, it means that you're supposed to go to get out. Before he gets out of the office, he's told, now that you're here, you have to work. And then he works. And then the morning shift ends. And then he's told, now you're supposed to work the afternoon shift. And the Lord that he serves touches him every time. Because me, I will forget the Lord that I serve. I will forget. And he works through the day on a holiday, on a day he was not supposed to be there. Because at the back of his mind, he understands, he knows that even though it's difficult, this is not my job. This is an undercover job. I'm here for a reason. I'm here for a reason. And that reason is beyond me. That reason is beyond me. That reason is beyond me. And it's the same reason that Imach can finish his salary in the first 5 days. And you'll see him smiling. Because at the end of the day, najua economist hapa hivyo anasema, oh, unajua hii maisha ni kujipanga, lazima mtu ajipange. I am here to tell you, amejipanga. Amejipanga. And in the year that we are entering, and the year that we are entering, we must learn our value. That even at our places of work, we are working there. If you come and tell me I cannot be in church, I cannot be in church on Sunday because I have to work, and you understand why it is you are working, there will be no difference of you going to work and you coming to church on Sunday. If you're working there because you're doing the work of the Spirit, the work of the kingdom, there will be no difference. And your treasures will not be laid up on, you will know the value. You will know what value it is, where you're placing value. But see, do your baby shower, bridal shower. Baby shower, bridal shower. Alafu sasa ile kimeumana bado utakuja nikuombe. Takukumbusha. Reunion. Reunion. Jesus. Reunions. Are we together? One thing that our generation does not understand is the power of testimonies. Because some of the older people in our generation, as I look through here, that would be March, Ebe. Those are the two oldest people in our generation here. Sisi wengine, bwana anatuonekania. And not, they're not so far, because even what I'm trying to say, I'm about to say, you will understand. When we grew up, the testimonies that we used to hear in church, the maushuda that we used to hear in church, were things like, bwana sifiwe, niko na ushuda, nataka kumshukuru Mungu kwa sababu leo niliamka. Okay? Na Mungu ali patia chai na nini, and every day every Sunday there would be that one person in church who has the same testimony, and you would hear this story across different churches, and over time it would not look like they were serious, or rather it would not look like what they were testifying about had such a magnitude to be called a testimony. Because our fathers would meet na salamu yao ingekuwa Bwana asifiwe, leo nimeokoka na mshukuru Mungu, and they would give what they would call a ushuhuda. So as you grew up listening, you grow up, and in your mind, you do not see God in the orchestration of their testimonies. Do you understand what I'm saying? You don't see the power of God to fulfill what they were saying, because some of the things they were saying, even though they were testimonies to them, they were so simple to you, because these are things that your parents could provide. So you don't understand how it is drinking tea in the morning, or waking up, literally just waking up in the morning, is a miracle and needs to be testified. And what happened over time, we reduced or we diminished the power of a testimony and its ability to recreate miracles just by listening to the testimonies. What am I trying to say? In every moment when someone is testifying about the goodness of God, what happens is that the same power that did the miracle is made available in that moment to orchestrate another miracle to anyone who's listening and who has value for testimonies. So if I come up today and say, praise God, Bwana asifiwe, nimekuwa nikiomba na Mungu amenionekania na I am no longer single, I got a girlfriend. Nimekuwa na shida sana, nimekuwa niki ask wasichana out lakini wananikataa, lakini Mungu amenionekania na huyu msichana mmoja amenikubali. In that instant, anyone who is single and is seeking marriage or is seeking a relationship, the same power that was made available to the person who is testifying is made available at that moment for anyone. So anyone who has value or anyone who honors testimonies at that moment, that same power is made available to orchestrate a miracle for them. Praise the name of the living God. Can someone find the definition of the word testimony for us? So not only is God opening our eyes to what he does, but God is imputing in us the value to sit down and hear testimony and give honor and give honor. Testimonies will no longer be cliches. So we will receive so many miracles will happen, so many miracles will happen. Testimony is a testament, it's a statement given in court by a witness, meaning that the person who's giving the testimony had a first-hand account or experienced what was happening as it happened. So every time unapeana moshene, you are testifying. Proof or evidence of something. Every time unapeana, hey, manze, Boniface Mwangi, walipelekana hapo hivi na Millicent Omanga, you are testifying because you had a first-hand account of their tweets flying in heavy. And what happens when you are in the presence of a miracle happening? The conviction that is lifted in your spirit, that when you come and say, I went to a meeting, and in that meeting, I saw blind eyes open. I saw blind eyes open. I saw deaf ears open. I saw the lame walk. What is happening? You're giving a first-hand account of what was happening. And in that moment, you are stimulating, you are activating the same power that enabled those blind eyes to open at that instance. So if in that instance, anyone who's blind, wherever a testimony of blind eyes opening is being given, at that instance, their blind eyes have the ability to open when they know and understand the presence in which they are in. So God is enabling you to see his power at hand so that you can give a testimony, not that people can clap, no, so that there can be a reproduction of miracles and miracles and miracles. Because we are entering into a state and a culture of miracles, you will be giving testimonies. And when you will be giving testimonies, another miracle will be happening. And when those people go out and testify, another miracle will be happening, and another miracle will be happening, and another miracle will be happening. What will be happening is that when people come to presence night, when people come to presence night and they experience the deliverance of the Lord, they experience the miracle that they will be happening, when they go to their different places to testify of what they saw, in that instance, the message that we carry will be distributed across the world, will be distributed in different places, even without us getting to those places, because God is uplifting, God is renewing the power of testimonies. So this will not just be marketing strategies for our gathering. There will no longer be just marketing strategies for churches, where they post what their testimonies online so that people can see it is happening in their church. No. The mystery behind a testimony is that there can be evidence of the power of God. And once evidence is tabled, you know, evidence of power is power. Evidence of power is power. Once power is tabled, then that power begins to do what it does best. And we are going to see this. We are going to experience it. We are going to see it. We are going to experience it. The boldness to testify, the discernment to know when God is at work, even in the simple things. And that's why it's important for us to reflect and see what 2020 has been and see how it would have been without the Lord. And when we reflect and see the hand of God in our ear, it will give us the ability to testify of the goodness of God. And when we begin to testify of the goodness of God in 2021, even for us, we are reproducing the same power, the same atmosphere to work for us progressively. Mm. The prophetic is heavy today. The prophetic is heavy. Today is that day that when, if you want to see, you will see. If you want to see, you will see. And I'm telling you this so that you can begin to look into the spirit and see how your year on a personal level, on an individual level, should be like and how it will be like. Bless the name of Jesus. Twenty twenty-one, 2022, 2020. And this is why God has taught us so much. I'm sure most of you can attest to the fact that this year you've been taught either directly by the Spirit. And even here on this platform, you've been taught, you've been, it's like you've been umekua staffed, like yani umefunzwa, uko tuka mtoto, uko like, mtoto sijamaliza kutafuna hii, lakini mdomo yako inafunguliwa uongezewe. I need to tell you to prepare your appetite for the word. To prepare your appetite for the word. To prepare your appetite for the word. Because in this year's, we will teach. 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 The revival will be inculcated. This will be a revival that is taught. It is taught. It is tutored. You will be, it will be a revival that is tutored. Like it lazima ifunzwe ingie. It will be a revival that is governed by a people who are living by the word. These are years of living under the word. Living under the word. Living under the word. I'll tell you this. If you have a habit of wanting a prophetic word, what the prophetic culture calls small. If you have a habit of always wanting to be told what God is saying, in these years you will suffer. You will suffer so much because God is investing so much, not in word of knowledge, because too much of word of knowledge makes the church dependent on the prophet. But God is investing so much in the teaching of his church so that his church can be upright. Jesus says, you are clean because of the word that I have already spoken to you. So God is investing so much in the deep teachings, so that the church can be able to stand upright. The body can be, the bones in the body can be fed with the right things, so that the church is an upright, a strong body, because it is taught. Intercessors who are not taught will suffer. It's not just people who depend on a prophetic word who will suffer. I'm not saying there will be no prophetic word, there will be no demonstration of word of knowledge and word of wisdom and the discerning of spirit. That's not what I'm saying. But it will be governed by, it will. We will not prophesy, God talk about you. No, we will just teach you. We will teach you so that you can be able to see, and your ears can be open and your eyes can be open to see and know what God needs you to do, what God says about you. Mysteries will be unfolded. It will be a year of people who pray without being taught will suffer. People who give without being taught will suffer. Everything that we will practice, everything will be practiced, will be a proceed of teaching. It will be a proceed of being taught, because there will be no need to do practices without understanding. What teaching does is that it brings you to a place of understanding. And when you begin to practice principles and practice the ordinances of God, you practice them with understanding. So you know why it is you are giving. You know why it is you are praying. You know why it is you are prophesying. You know why it is you are doing all these things. Why? Because they come after. They come after you have been taught. You understand that the work of the Spirit, one of the works of the Spirit that is highlighted, forget all the other works that are not highlighted, the works of the Spirit that have not been highlighted. One of the works of the Spirit that has been highlighted is that He will teach you. He will come. When the promise comes, He will teach you. He will teach you. And He goes ahead to say, you will not need to be taught by anyone else but by the Spirit. Let me clear that up. That does not mean that you don't need a pastor, a prophet, a teacher, an apostle, an evangelist to teach. It just means that if it is not a teaching that comes out of the Spirit, then it does not edify, it does not exhort, it does not build you. So as I speak daily, it will be your duty to discern if what I'm teaching is the Spirit teaching. You understand what I'm saying? If on the days that I am teaching outside the voice of the Spirit, then you have an obligation to come and tell me we will not be taught by anyone else except the Spirit. You have an obligation to come and tell me, Sifa, you have no duty to teach us of your own. If it is not of the Spirit, you cannot teach us. How many of you have had the experience of visions? All right. Yes. All right. Okay. and the rest of you have answered in their heads. How many have had the experience of the revelation of the word? All right. Let me explain what I mean by the revelation of the word. Yes. That's what I want to explain. Okay, let me. How many, forget visions, how many have had the experience of the Spirit of God, either by the infilling of the Spirit or by a refilling of the Spirit or just the touch of the Spirit and it comes and it happens? Or you've gone to a service and in that service you had an experience that was beyond spiritual and affected even the physical state of the room and the physical state of people. How many have experienced that? All right. I'm broadening the so that you can understand what is it that I want to say, and because sometimes most of us are in the space where we want to see visions, we have not experienced visions before. But that will be a teaching for another day on how for you on how you need to experience visions, because most of you have experienced visions, you just don't know it was visions you were experiencing. You have a different idea of what visions should look like. Your understanding and what visions should look like has been messed up. So you don't have the joy of visions because you don't have the joy of the experience of visions, because what you expect visions to look like is not happening for you, but yet you always experience visions. But that's a story for another day. And what I want to say, you remember that time where you experienced the Spirit of God, where you experienced a vision, where this is beautiful, this is beautiful. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I am sure all of us, or 99.9% of us, have had a dream. They went to bed and they had a dream. If you have not had the experience of a dream, let me see. Hii hata tutakuombea tutamwagia tukutandako maji. Ama tutakutengenezea trip ya kwenda Maldives. Ndio the night before ushindwe kulala tu Kenya unaota tu ni hiyo trip ya ndege. Itakupatia dreams. You see the experience of a dream and how realistic it is, how a dream is very tangible. In fact, in certain dreams, it's so bad that you sweat in the dreams, you cry in the dreams, and you wake up. When you wake up at night, you have that feeling that it was bad. Your heart is pounding, tears are flowing. And it is bad, that experience. And some of you have experienced that in visions. Some of you, when the Spirit of God comes on you, some of you have experienced that. But when it comes to the word, very few of us have experienced the realistic manifestation of the letters of the word. Very few of us have had an epiphany when they were studying their Bibles. Very few of us had heaven come down and the atmosphere of the room change when they were studying the word. Very few of us have had experiences when they were listening to a speaker preach, a preacher preach, a pastor teach, a prophet teach, an apostle teach. And at that time when the word came forth, it was a different experience and the reality changed. Their eyes were open, their feelings were aroused, and the word was active. And that is what I mean. We are going to live in the word. What do I mean? That when you sit down to read the word, pick up your Bible and you are studying and you are reading Psalm 65, verse 11. And it says, you crown the ear with your goodness and your paths drip with abundance. And in that instance, as you are reading that, the heavens open and you begin to experience the crowning and you begin to experience the abundance that is dripping. And heaven invades, and you are just doing something simple. You are not praying. You had not clenched your fist praying with so much ferocity. Your eyes were not tightly shut. No, you are just reading the word. And the word made itself manifest. And the word made itself life. And the heavens opened. And now you are experiencing the word. You are living in the word. And in that time you see crowns. You crown the ear with goodness. And goodness comes in. And your paths drip with abundance. And abundance comes in. And you can tell how abundance smells. You can tell how goodness smells. You can tell how the texture of what goodness is. You can tell the size, the weight of what abundance is, because at that time the word has been made manifest. And that is what I'm talking about. We must live in the word. We must live in the word. We must live in the word. And the word expresses itself. The word begins to express itself. And the word begins to notify, to acquaint itself to you. And the word acquaints himself to you. And in that time, if you're reading the word and the word is talking about a warm embrace, you begin to feel like you're being hugged, because the word is making an expression. You're reading the word and you're reading a part where it says, and God, the God of war, the God of war. And in that time, your ears are opened and you begin to hear chants, the word chant, and war chants come out. And you realize the victory that you have been looking for, the victory that you have been looking for is at hand. The victory that you have been looking for is at hand, because the word is notifying. It's knocking. And you're reading that part where the centurion comes and meets Jesus. And he tells Jesus, you know what? You are a commander like me. I understand authority. You do not have to come to my home. Just speak a word. And the Bible says, and he sent the word. And the word, and at the time when you are reading that, you begin to hear the footsteps of the word going back to the centurion's place to heal. I bless the name of the Lord. I bless the name of the Lord. I bless the name of the Lord. I bless the name of the Lord, because in these times that we are living in, in these times that we are living in, there will be value given to anyone who says they are born again. In these times that we are living in, there will be respect given. There will be respect when you enter an interview and you say, you know what, I am born again. Immediately you are told, because you are born again, you must head this department. Because you will be walking into spaces. And when you walk into a space because you are born again, people
people experience a change. And every time you speak, that word that you were reading and was acquainting itself to you begins to manifest. Prepare your appetite. Prepare your appetite, because God will teach us the more. We'll spend more time under the grace of the word, under the grace of teaching, under the feet of the word, just to listen, so that the word can become flesh. So that the word can become flesh.
I'm about to finish.
And next year, when we come back,
I'll notify you when and how we will come back. I'll reiterate on certain things, on more things that God wants to do, and just give more illumination on how we should leave out the months that are ahead of us. Because I believe that God will open his heart to me and tell me more things, and open up certain secrets that we need to do. Certain secrets that we need to do. At the beginning of the year, there was instruction that was given to us, and that this was a financial instruction. And it was beautiful. And I'm sure the people who did it have seen. The people who are faithful have seen the hand of God. They have seen an increase. And even those that have not seen an increase as they thought they would see, when they look keenly, they will know that God has increased them. It was a long time before I handled money. It had been a long time before I handled good money. It had been a long time. I had forgotten the smell of pepper. I had forgotten how it feels to have an account that has money. You know how you're driving and you look at the rear view mirror and the farther you go, the things behind you look so small. Amen. 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 The farther you go, the things look so small. It looked like my car was moving so fast and money was not even like nikal kwa nimepiga kona kadha so hata nikiangalia side mirror manze sioni kitu. It was a while. It had been a while. I had forgotten. But in the year that most people were complaining of how they don't have money, God reminded me of the test. God showed me a glimpse, a tip of the iceberg of how my life will look like. God showed me of how he can provide. You know what I'm doing right now? You know what I'm doing right now? I am testifying. Yes, I am testifying. I am testifying. I am making available the same power. The same power. The same power for you, for me, for you, for me. And this year, God made sure that my accounts were active. God made sure that my M-Pesa could not rest. God made sure that I handled money. It is so. And he reminded me that he has not called me to be poor. He reminded me that what I do, the work that I do, is sufficient enough to take care of me, to take care of my family, to leave an inheritance for my children's children. He reminded me
And as he was reminding me, he was telling me, this is just a glimpse, just a glimpse. And yesterday I was remembering one of the prophetic words over my life. One man of God, a huge man of God, you take it. Najua prophecy ya church member unaweza sahau. But a man of God who has a reputation, he prophesied to me and he was asking me what I do and I was telling him, oh, wow, oh, yo, I'm a pastor. At that time, I didn't even have the confidence to say I'm a pastor. We were together with my pastor, Pastor Omosh. And I was telling him, oh, I help him in the ministry. I didn't have the confidence to say I'm a pastor. And he looked at me and at that moment, he did not see a pastor. And for a moment, I was wondering whether my ears are okay. Kama nimesikia Mungu vizuri. He looked at me and at that moment, as he was looking at me, he could not. He could not see. He could not see a pastor and he told me, he shook his head and he was like, no, you are not a pastor. And he told me, there is a grace on you to finance the kingdom. To finance the kingdom. There is a grace on you to finance the kingdom. And he told me certain things, certain businesses that needs to be done through my hand. Certain businesses of the kingdom that needs to be done through my hand, businesses that bring in a lot of money, told me you are a kingdom finance. And yesterday it came back to me of how of that word, and I remembered that God had said, I will finance the matters of the kingdom. And I remembered how God has shown me a glimpse of the money that I will handle. The glimpse of the money that I will handle. And how every time I think about money, the only thing I think about is how we will populate the kingdom in this land. As a result of this testimony, next year will be different for you financially. It will be greater. It will be greater. It will be greater. It will be greater. Even strangers will give to you. Even strangers will give work. They will be told that there is a person who, if they do this project for you, you will remember it for years to come, and they will come, and you will have no experience whatsoever, but they will ask you, what is your value, how can we pay you? As a servant of God, as a man of God, as a servant of God who's ordained, I decree that you will not lack. I decree that your giving will increase. Your giving will increase. In the year 2021, when people will be working 4 jobs so that they can pay rent, your giving will increase. And it is not giving so that you can go home and sleep hungry. No, it is giving out of abundance. We've just read Psalm 65 verse 11. You crown the year with goodness and your path drip with abundance. You will give out of abundance. I need you to purpose. If you've been given 200 shillings, increase your offering by force. As we say it, by fire, by force. Increase. Your giving will increase. Your spending will increase. Your saving will increase. Your investments will increase. I was saying, this is what we're saying. And this is the scripture I was looking for, Psalm 68, verse 11. The Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those who proclaimed it. I'm saying 2021, and this is the season that we're living in, is a season of living under the word. So the Lord gave his word, and great was the company of those who proclaimed it. Another version says, great was the company of those who published it. Great was the company of those who will live under the word. Great will be the company of those who live under the word. And that is you and I. 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 My pastor already said there will be multiplication, and he was just confirming what the Lord had told me. 2021, and today as I was praying and meditating upon the word of God tonight, and what I had seen was an increase, a numerical increase of people in our gatherings. Are we together? What I had seen as I have been praying was a numerical increase and a growth. Amen, 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 Vanessa. What I had seen was a numerical increase of our gatherings. If you know me, you know I belong to like three gatherings. I belong to Deliverance Church, Judah Township. I belong to the Awakening Church. And I also belong to Presence Night. And there will be a numerical increase of people in our gathering. That is what I was seeing. But today, as I was sitting and meditating and listening and praying to God the more, God opened my eyes to see what he means by numerical increase. You see, every time we hear numerical increase, we straight ahead go to, if you're a pastor like me, straight ahead goes to people. But God was showing me that there will be an increase in anything that has numbers. You didn't get that. There will be an increase in anything that has numbers. Anything that is valued by numbers. That's what numerical increase. It's an increase of numbers. It's an increase of numbers. There will be an increase, a numerical increase. So for example, if you had five cows, let's count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's number. It's cows. They will increase. There will be an increase of cows. There will be an increase of cars. Increase of chicken, increase of people, increase of money, increase of anything that can be counted. Numerical increase. If you desire degree number 3, numerical increase. And we're not talking about additions. We're talking about multiplication. Multiplication. Numerical increase. As we enter into this year, this is the word of the Lord to hold on to. God, you say that we will increase numerically and begin to count the things that you have. If it's trousers, you have 5. Numerical increase. Increase. If it is shoes, increase. The money in your accounts, increase. The number of valuable people in your life, increase. Anything that is counted will increase. And the word of the Lord just came to me now. As far as your eyes can see, as far as your eyes can see, as far as your eyes can see, do not limit the power, the exponential power of God, the power of God, by limiting how far you can see. Do not be cowed by the circumstances, not to open your eyes to see further, not to open your eyes to see further. Let the eyes of your imagination receive the confidence to project, to have the sight of an eagle, the vantage point of an eagle. You will hear men cry. You will hear women cry. You will see people being abused in relationships. You will see broken marriages. You will see accidents, left, right, center. But they will not come near you. They will not come near you. You have been separated. You've been elevated. You've been lifted off as the storms. The word says that he will raise a standard like a flood. He will raise when the enemy comes in. This is how that scripture is read. When the enemy comes in, full stop, like a flood, the Lord will raise a standard. It doesn't say when the enemy comes in like a flood. When the enemy comes in like a flood, God will raise a standard. God will raise a standard. The storms will be happening beneath, but the standard that you have will be too high, too high. Even when the storms roll, you will be sitting down at a place where you will sip your wine, sip your tea comfortably. Because God has raised a standard. God has raised a standard. One of the things that we will learn to do in 2021 is make money a non-issue. Let me say that again. We will learn to make money a non-issue. You will have plans without thinking of where the budget will come from. You will tell your parents, you know what? I want to go and do a degree in Canada. And they'll tell you, oh, you know, Canada is expensive. But in your mind, it will not even hit you. A non-issue. You will learn to live like a person who has a blank check. I saw Kendi's text, and this is what I I've just seen your text down there, and this is what I saw. Some of you need to stop looking at your parents for salvation. Some of you are the salvation that your parents are looking for. The moment you stop looking at your folks for provision, that is the time they will begin to live in abundance, because God will begin to provide through you. In the day you stop utaacha kuhurumia mama yako atatoa wapi fees yako ya the next semester and stop looking at her for in that day God begins to provide through you. And now you begin to relieve your parents, because now you have shifted focus to the right place. And you know what I'm talking about. You look at your parents, you look at the state at home, and you know it's impossible. You know it is hard. But the moment you stop looking at them and realize that you have been ordained for that household to build houses, to elevate the standard of living, the moment that hits you and it slaps you so hard, then things begin to happen. For the remaining of this year, you are covered. For the remaining of this year, you are covered. You are protected. You together with your family. No sting shall befall you. No sting shall befall you. No one amongst us will lose a loved one, will lose a relative this year. There will be no tragedy. There will be no tragedy in your households. Most importantly, everything that was supposed to come your way in 2020 that has not come your way, I command it speedily to make its way to you. Every expansion that was released to you that has been hindered, that was supposed to come at this time, at this appointed time, I rent the heavens. I fight the prince of Persia. I command reinforcement. Michael, come and do the beating. Come and do the fight so that everything can land in the name of Jesus. There will be no carry forwards. There will be no carry forwards. There will be no carry forwards. Whatever was of 2020 must come. Every good thing that was ordained for you for this year must come to you. In the remaining weeks, it must come to you. I don't care if it must, if the orchestration of the manifestation of it must take 20 months. No. Or take 3 months, 4 months. The heavens will come together. The heavens will come together and deliver for your sake. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. You are blessed, you are covered. So next year we will be obedient, we will be ready. We'll be obedient, we'll be ready. And we will live a victorious life. We will live a victorious life. We will live a life of separation, a life of distinction. We will be different, not just from the people of the world, but even from the people who are born again, who have no understanding. We will be different. We must be different. We must be different. May the heavens provide. May there be provision for you so that you can enjoy these holidays. May there be provision for you so that you can enjoy these holidays. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Can you open up your mouth and pray for a minute? Maybe you can stop recording.